So this is from the prophet Amos. This is what the Lord God showed me, a basket of summer fruit. To he said, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a basket of summer fruit. Then the Lord said to me, the end has come upon my people Israel. I will never again pass them by. The songs of this temple shall become wailing on that day, says the Lord God. The dead bodies shall be many, cast out in every place. Be silent. Hear this. You that trample on the needy and bring ruin to the poor of the land, saying, what will the new moon be over, so that we may sell grain again, and the Sabbath, so that we may offer wheat for sale? What will we make of the ephah small and the shekel great, and practice deceit with false balances, buying the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals, and selling the sweeping of the wheat? The Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their deeds. Shall not the land tremble on this account, and everyone mourn who lives in it, and all that it rises like the Nile, and be tossed about and sink again, like the Nile of Egypt? So this is from the Quran 5:8. O you who believe, be always upright for God, bearing witness to justice, and do not let the hatred of a people incite you to act equitably. Act equitably. That is near to piety. Fear God, verily, God is fully aware of all what you do. This is from Luke 10:38-42. Now all that went along, he came to this village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. And she had a sister named Mary, who sat at the master's feet and listened to his words. But Martha kept getting distracted because she was doing all the serving. So she went up to Jesus and said, Master, doesn't it matter to you that my sister has left me with all the serving? Tell her to give me a hand. But the master answered her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about a lot of things, but only one thing is necessary. Mary has made the better choice, and it's something she will never lose. And finally, a lovely poem, Sisters by Lucille Clifton. Me and you be sisters. We be the same, me and you. Coming from the same place. Me and you be greasing our legs, touching up our edges. Me and you be scared of rats, be stepping on roaches. Me and you come running high down Purdy Street one time and mama laugh and shake her head. Me and you. Me and you got babies. Got 35, got black. Let her hair go back. Be loving ourselves, be sisters. Only where you sing, I poet.
A feminist reading. Mary, by sitting at the feet of Jesus, takes the posture of student to teacher. Mary shows that she has a mind. She takes the position that is reserved for males. Females are to serve while the men listen to the teacher in the culture. Martha represents the pressure to conform to established orthodox gender roles and tries to shame her sister, Mary, into doing the job assigned to her by patriarchy. Jesus, by siding with Mary, provides divine approval for women to become equal with men. He is challenging gender roles by proclaiming that Mary has a choice at all and that she's made the better choice. Mary is the model and the saint for women who have crossed gender boundaries and claimed positions previously reserved for men. A labor reading. Mary, sitting at the feet of Jesus, represents the elite. Martha represents the labor force, those who provide and prepare food so that the elite can sit and engage in lofty discussion. Martha is requesting justice by asking Mary, who is acting like an elite, to do her fair share of labor. Martha is not granted justice by Jesus, but instead shaming. Jesus siding with Mary is typical of elite who make their living with words and ideas rather than with labor. Their work is more important than the work of those who make, prepare, and serve food. So goes the story. Clergy, professors, and managers see this passage as offering divine sanction for their so-called work of wordsmithing, while the real work of the world, represented by Martha, is devalued as not as important and not as important as Mary's choice. Thus the hypocrisy. Mary made the better choice, Martha. Oh, by the way, would you make me a sandwich? This passage is a popular one for preachers. I quickly glanced online and saw that there are a number of video sermons of ministers tackling this topic. Titles like Trying to Be a Mary in a Martha World, or Everybody's Hustling, and so forth. This conflict resonates in the lives of both home and church. Martha has become the patron saint of those who do the work that needs to be done, even when it often is not valued. And in biblical passages that feature Jesus taking a side, it's expected that we're supposed to side with what Jesus said. After all, you know, he's Jesus. Mary's right, Martha's wrong. But what's often missed is the context or the matrix or the patriarchy or the elitism behind it all. Jesus is, after all, a male, and he's a teacher. The others in this text are women. No one else is named as being here. Does that mean no one else is around? Did Jesus arrive alone? Or does he have an entourage of men who also want sandwiches? And what about Lazarus, the brother of Martha and Mary? Now, I know I'm stealing that from another gospel. But nonetheless, let's say he lives in the house too. What's he doing? Is he serving, or is serving just women's work? We might look differently at the story if it's just three people versus a whole houseful. Personally, I cannot read this passage without thinking of my mother. She was a Martha times 10, constantly serving. Three meals a day for whoever was in the house, plus snacks and cookies. She was always up and down. My father would say, "Sit down, Olive, you're making me nervous." But she couldn't sit for long, not when there are people around who needed to be served, including my father. Beyond gender and elitism and roles that are assigned, there are personalities too. The Mary and the Martha. We know the type, perhaps both within us in some way. But I can imagine Martha singing to Mary the song from Leon Redbone, Lazy Bones. "Now, lazy bones, loafing through the day, how you expect to make a dime that way? You'll never make a dime that way, never hear a word I say." And there's Mary the daydreamer. Just doesn't quite get into the work like her sister does. She wants something different. Spends every moment she can dreaming up ideas, writing songs. It's true for a lot of families, I expect, Mary and Martha. So did Martha have a right to complain? Could she have taken the position Mary did but just chose not to do so? Would she rather just work and complain about it? Or is she envious of her sister? On the other hand, isn't it easy for the daydreamers to expect service on one hand and then devalue the same work on the other? Isn't it an act of pure love to prepare a table for a guest? What more like heaven is there than that? How we respond to questions like those may indicate whether we are more like Martha or Mary. Either way, I have to think that the ultimate response by Jesus is one of love for both Martha and Mary. And for Martha and Mary to love themselves, as Lucille Clifton put it, "Be loving ourselves, be loving ourselves, be sisters." Martha and Mary are both needed in our world. Both are needed more than ever. The other passage from the lectionary for this week is from the book of Amos, and it's a passage of judgment. The Hebrew words for fruit and end sound similar, so it's a word play. The basket of summer fruit and the end has come are a play on words. The end is coming. It's coming because injustice is not sustainable. Those who exploit last for a season, but the season comes to an end eventually. This passage is not a pleasant one, even as it is poetic, judgments and wailing and dead bodies. Unless, of course, you are the poor and needy who have been exploited, sold into slavery for a pair of shoes. Then the end doesn't sound so bad at all. It sounds like justice. Hear their story, hear their complaint from Amos. Hear this, you that trample on the needy and bring ruin to the poor of the land, saying, when will the new moon be over so that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath so that we may offer wheat for sale? We'll make the ephah small and the shekel great, and practice deceit with false balances, buying the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals, and selling the sweetings of the wheat. We may be headed for an end. Earth and its creatures are not treated with justice by the elite of this world. By many measures, that imbalance between the top 1% and the other 99%, or I can include most people in the United States by saying the top 7% and the 93% of the world, that imbalance is growing. And the call from Amos is to recognize this. That is assuming Amos still speaks to us today, that we can see our world in this oracle. Know this inequity exists and it cannot last. The moral fabric of the universe will not allow injustice to last. Do we believe that or not? Do we want to hear it whether or not we believe it? Do we want to do anything about it? I wonder if that was the kind of thing that Jesus was telling Mary as she sat at his feet. I wonder if Martha, amidst her distractions, also heard this message. The stuff that Amos said is the same stuff that Jesus said. It's the same stuff that Moses said. It's the same stuff several centuries later that Muhammad said. Inequity is not sustainable. It will not last. There will be an end. So, Mary, with your imagination, you with your love of learning, you with your ability to sit and listen and think and imagine and sing and create, you are needed. You are needed more than ever to hear divine wisdom and to share it, study it, learn it, speak it, sing it, shout it. And dear Martha, you with your tireless love of service, you who pray with leathered and calloused hands, you who delight in the comfort of your guests, you who are the first to volunteer to get things done, you are needed. You are needed more than ever to enact divine wisdom. Serve and show what hospitality and justice is by your actions. Serving, loving, creating. Mary and Martha, both are needed. Both are loved. Both are cherished. Both are summoned to save the world. Amen.